Chapter 33, Satanic Panic. In 1985, I travelled from Johannesburg to Amsterdam on a school trip. I was 15, and the Amsterdam I wanted to visit had a red light district and legal pot. The one I found had rooigevaar, and the only pot I came across was the one I had to scrub when it was my turn for kitchen duty. This Amsterdam was a small town in what was then the Eastern Transvaal, near the border of Swaziland, now Eswatini. It was where white children spent 5 days at Fult School, which in the mid-1980s was an apartheid indoctrination camp. When my classmates and I climbed off the bus, we were greeted by a Bible-carrying, big-bearded, barrel-chested oom. He gave us backpacks, military uniforms, and oversized army boots, and took us on a march. I was used to marching. Every Tuesday we filed into platoons for cadets and practiced our drills for the school's annual Republic Day parade. When the big day arrived, we marched around a field being commanded to eyes right and salute dignitaries. We'd then stand at attention behind a drum majorette squad from our sister school as the dignitaries made speeches. The important thing was not to faint during the speeches. If you did, you would miss the highlight of the year, the drum majorettes bending over to pick up their batons, giving the boys a split-second flash of their knickers. Did I mention that we were standing, to attention? If only the dignitaries knew why the boys were grinning when they droned on about the virtues of Christian national education. Apartheid was woven into every part of our school lives, from the white-centered curriculum to the racist language casually used by teachers and pupils. In youth preparedness, the guidance teacher told us it was our moral duty to go to the army to protect our mothers and sisters from terrorists. We had bomb drills and were taught if terrorists invaded, we should hide under our desks. Police officers came to school to show us how to identify limpet mines. The subtle lesson was to fear the blacks. But back to Fult School, where our lessons were about as subtle as a Steve Hofmeyr Facebook post. That first evening in a spooky hall, the oom told us that the communist Soviet Union, where the world's evil was concentrated, was behind the ANC. Moscow wanted our gold, diamonds, and uranium. He outlined an apocalyptic vision of what would happen if the Marxist-backed ANC took over. There would be bloodshed. South Africa would be stripped bare. Our freedom and our free market economy would be destroyed, and there would be premarital sex, which didn't sound too terrible. Worst of all, said the oom, his eyes watering, the communists would come for his Bible. We were the bulwark between Moscow and the oom's precious scriptures. He then said a prayer urging God to keep us safe from communists, terrorists, and atheists. Every night in two-hour shifts, we had to stand guard around the camp's perimeter. We were warned about terrorists in Swaziland who crossed the border to launch attacks. Be very alert, the oom warned us. I woke just before 2 a.m. for my shift in the depths of the Eastern Transvaal winter. My teeth were chattering, my fingers were numb, and I couldn't feel my toes. I scrambled in my bag for my torch, but I couldn't find it. Instead, I pulled out a comb and the packet of raisins my mother had given me when she dropped me off. Just in case you get hungry, she told me. I shivered at my post in total darkness and eerie silence, wondering what I had done to deserve this. Just when I thought life couldn't get worse, I heard a sound. A terrorist. There was no desk to hide under, and all I had for protection was my comb and a packet of raisins. Unless the terrorist was allergic to raisins and craving a comb over to conceal a balding Bolshevik pate before launching himself in a blaze of revolutionary zeal against all that was holy and white with the world, I was completely defenseless. A silhouetted figure emerged from the gloom. I screamed. So did the terrorist, who turned out to be the boy whose turn it was to stand guard next. He had gone into the veld to relieve himself before relieving me. Veld school went by in a blur of obstacle courses, marches, Bible readings, bitterly called guard duty, and lectures about the KGB, ANC, terrorists, atheists, homosexuality, and the pros of the free market. So basically a precursor to Kamp Staldraad, without the rugby balls and the nude bonhomie. See chapter 13. The morning before we left, we gathered outside for our final lecture. The Oom was particularly solemn as he introduced an entirely new threat to our civilized Christian existence, the Satanists trying to corrupt us through heavy metal and rock music. This Oom can't have been much good, though, because he left out Dungeons and Dragons, the very crucible of the satanic plot to turn everyone into devil worshippers wielding 20-sided dice. The Oom had particularly strong words for the satanic John Lennon, who peddled evil through his communist music. "If you play Beatles records backwards, there will be satanic messages," he said. "When you listen to their music, you don't hear these backmasked messages, but they enter your subconscious, brainwashing you. If you listen to Imagine backwards, you'll hear a message from the devil himself." But the Oom refused to reveal what it was because it was so evil. As soon as I got home, I commandeered my sister's Imagine record and spun it backwards. There were only garbled sounds. After my fifth attempt, I think I might have heard ice cream, but that could have been the equivalent of an oral Rorschach test because I was so hungry after being fed Feldschul gruel. Just like everything else the Oom told us, Imagine's satanic message was a lie. What's next? If you play a Boere Musiek song backwards, you get a poikikos recipe. Okay, that may actually be true, but don't tell anyone. I don't want to start a Kurt Darren panic. Banned. On 8th August 1966, the South African government and the SABC banned all Beatles songs after John Lennon said the band was bigger than Jesus. At the time, the Beatles had been in South Africa's top 20 for 3 straight years, with songs including From Me to You, She Loves You, A Hard Day's Night, Ticket to Ride, and Help. The SABC lifted its Beatles ban in 1971, but the clemency didn't extend to Lennon's compositions. Reverse morphology. On Franz Ferdinand's 2004 single Michael, the backmasking message is, "She's worried about you, call your mother." The Rootles, the band that performed Beatles parodies, had this backmasking message on Piggy in the Middle, "This little piggy went to market." The backmasking message on Weird Al Yankovic's I Remember Larry is, "Wow, you must have an awful lot of free time on your hands." And on his Nature Trail to Hell, "Satan eats cheese whiz." If you play Kurt Darren's Captain backwards, you will hear 1.5 kilogram wildsvleeskookstukke van jou keuse, 2 eie gekap, 8 knoffeltoentjies gekneus, 250 gram sampioene half uur, 1 groet groen soetrusie gekap, 300 gram gemengde droë vrugte.